All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Where do you start with?
Daddy long that guy. And shout out to Real Life Go.
Hey, you're one of 12 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
Yeah, you know what? To find that better, I think the key there is...
Let's start with Chalmers.
I just lost my train of thought.
Welcome to episode 140 of Nation Real Life. Shout out to Wanye for talking while the intro was playing. I hope you all enjoyed listening to
some
that.
Some behind the scenes.
Bag Milk's here. Jay is back from his European vacation. Chalmers is in here as well. We got a full studio. For the first time since we've moved downstairs to our new studio, everyone is here. How's it going, boys? You're back, Jay. How's it feel to be back in Canada?
I'm back. I'm adjusted. I've been going to bed really fucking early as I kind of get acclimatized back to North American time. So I'm running on like senior, you know, hours. So I'm in bed by 9, up at 5. But it's kind of nice.
That's not a bad life.
For those who didn't know, where were you?
I was in Finland.
What were you doing there?
I was there to hang out with our friend Larvanen to plan some future travel when we host the Finns here again in January. And Larvanen wanted to show me around and show me the hockey culture of Finland, which turned out to be unreal, and also introduced to me the sauna culture of Finland, which was also very interesting.
Yeah, I got a question about this Larvanen guy.
Yes.
What? I'm sure everybody wants to know, how does he have so much pull in Finland? How did he get you every ex-Oiler imaginable from Finland?
Well, first off, Finland is a small country, and they're very, like, patriotic, and, like, they help each other out, and they're very, like, if you're a big deal, you're still just a normal guy or a normal, you know, person in kind of, like... the population of Finland. But having said that, Larvanen is a guy who kind of did something he loved and has turned it into a business.
To do with hockey.
To do with sports. Hockey is his favorite sport, right. But he is considered Finland's ultimate sports fan. So he created a persona. So Larvanen is his character name. His real name is Jonas. Jonas Järvinen. So
now I don't know what to believe, Chalmers.
Yeah.
It's a classic Wanye.
Yeah. It's classic case. Larvanen means like tipsy, buzzed.
Oh, clever.
Yeah. So, and it's very close to his last name because it's Järvinen. So it's just a J is the difference. But he just kind of started a social media account, started going to games, dressed up in a jersey and a wig and glasses, and just kind of like started creating a bunch of content around that and just, you know, it resonated. And so now he works with a lot of companies. He travels around to watch Finnish national sports, whether it be handball, dressage, hockey. It doesn't
matter. Hold on. He gets to watch national dressage.
On a bigger scale.
Finland's huge in dressage. It's almost...
Chalmers, you know what dressage is?
Yeah, it's when horses dance, isn't it?
Sideways, and they have like ribbons in their hair and shit.
It's a skill.
But see, so he would be kind of like what, like, Fireman Ed would be to the New York Jets, or like, you know, the guy that dresses up in the Star Wars stuff in Oakland Raiders. Like, he's like a guy that's been known for just being a super fan. And yeah, being caught on TV, but having like a social media account, and then became famous for it.
Yeah, it's a function of that. Just like putting in the effort, doing that, documenting, getting awareness on like television and stuff.
Right.
But he's like built a business. So in Nordic countries, especially in Europe, but especially in Nordic countries, sports gambling is huge, and it's like in the culture. So he works with a big betting company there, where they do all these like games to win trips, and so he's the personality that hosts these people. Because he's like the larger than life, you know, fan. Mm-hmm. And so he hosts all these people. So he works with gambling companies. He's got other brands that need help with their social media. So like right now he's up in Lapland, which is like our Northwest Territories, like super, super north. And he's helping a travel company with their social media as his character, because, you know, he's developed this big following, but he's also a content machine. Like, that guy is nonstop. He's got this little 4K camera he holds in his hand. He's always taking videos, asking you questions. He's always on Snapchat. He's always on Instagram stories. He's always posting. Like, he is nonstop.
Oh man, like that guy in the betting documentary. Remember how every morning he would have like his two phones and he would just constantly be walking around filming himself do shit like that?
But it's not like it's that intrusive either. It's like he's like...
He makes it seem natural, yeah. And that's, I think, why he's almost so good at it, right?
Yeah, like, it's like we're having a conversation, and, like, mid-conversation, you're just like, blah, 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 like, record something, done, and, like, it's like we never lost a step in what the hell we were talking about. He just, like, includes it into his story.
And now he's, like, loaded because of his persona and his social media, just like the Naked Cowboy. Did you ever hear the story of the Naked Cowboy?
Well, no, go on.
I'm aware of the Naked Cowboy.
Dude, I know who the dude that's in Central Park, or not Central Park, Times Square all the time?
Oh, I thought this had something to do with Chris Russell. Continue.
No, who's Chris Russell's Naked Cowboy? Oh, the old Oiler.
What? Old?
Is he still an Oiler?
Wow.
Holy smokes. Sorry, tell us your Central Park, whatever.
Listen, tell us about the other Naked
Cowboy. That was like the thing where some guy put on today. He was like, I can't wait to see how McDavid's going to be today. I'm like, fuck, he's playing. Like, I didn't even... There's a game tonight? Cool. Anyways, we'll talk about that later.
Tisk, tisk.
Yeah, the Naked Cowboy basically like was like an actor. He was trying to make it. He like lived in his car for a bit. He would just like... would play the guitar. And then one day in the summertime, he just took off all of his clothes and did it in a Speedo. And then he went back the next day. And like, he now travels 365 days a year and makes like $500,000 a year. And he'll do like in the wintertime, he's even there, rain or shine. He'll go out for like 18 minutes and then he'll go to the parkade. He'll sit in his car. He'll have some lunch. He'll warm up. He'll go back out. He'll do like three shifts a day.
$500,000 from what?
He does events. He gets asked to come around. Just a lot of straight that's busking. Cash too. Yeah, the busking, like just.
Are you ready to surprise Chalmers? The Naked Cat? No, he's not here. We don't have that kind of fucking naked cowboy interview.
I heard his heart skip a beat good. There.
Yeah, no, he was fucking cool. So why do they call Chris Russell the Naked Cowboy? What the hell does that mean?
Chris Russell's nickname is the Cowboy because on every single Oilers broadcast, they remind you that his dad was a cowboy and that he grew up on the farm and he's farm boy tough, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And Tyler likes to imagine him naked.
Yeah, that's just a...
So you put those two together, Naked Cowboy.
Naked Cowboy.
I'm going to edit this part out.
Well, these mics really do sound great.
They sound fantastic.
By the way.
Yeah.
Jay might want to use his mic stand a little bit more.
I'm here. Right. I think he's actually really good.
No, see, but I can hear the...
Oh.
I haven't even touched the top yet.
But that ties into where we are. We're downstairs in the studio. It's the first time I've been down here.
What do you think?
I mean, it's a room, and we didn't do it.
No, fuck you, man.
It's great.
Every podcast studio starts with a room, so we're in the right direction.
Yeah. It's great. There's like, it's cool, man. Like, it sounds good down here. You guys were really worried about the sound from upstairs. You can't hear anything. That's great. It's not even soundproof. That's because they're still down here doing some things.
That big ass box behind you?
Yeah.
That's like all soundproofing foam.
Yeah.
And then Big Mike's smart, and he bought pool noodles so we don't knock our... Hear that P? That's called a plosive. So that we don't sever our heads on the pointy bulkhead there.
Oh, yeah. Pool noodles. They're so huge.
And then Charles brought a giant Oilers Stanley Cup flag.
So I did see the picture online of it, and I was like, man, that looks like just a fully white wall. Like, I expected you guys to not have any decorations up.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd jazz up the walls a little bit with whatever I had.
So they just got to throw the soundproofing shit everywhere. This wall here, I think they're filming that Dustin Nielsen show, the two the guys brick in the
wall,
goalie. Yeah,
the brick wall.
Looks like a fucking ISIS video, but other than that, we're working. Hey, don't blame me for ISIS. I didn't start them.
I also thought that we could, like, while it looks like it does, we can start our own casting couch down here, maybe?
Oh, pivot? Boy. But we don't know any girls.
Pivot.
You know, pivot. Like, no off-season, right? A little casting couch down in the... Yeah, I don't know. Good idea.
So I got two ideas for that wall right there. Now, they film two guys and a goalie down here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And on the back of that wall, like, that's a Nation podcast, isn't it?
Correct.
Right. So I saw some cool art. Like, I don't... Okay, thing number one would be a mural. Like, the Oilers Nation mural painted on there. But, like, professionally, on that rustic wall. I think it would look cool.
But two guys and a goalie is a Nation Network thing. It's not just an Oilers Nation thing.
Well, then make a Nation Network logo.
It's that weird double N thing that doesn't really.
Yeah, we've tried. Don't worry, we got some ideas.
Yeah.
Looks like a superhero.
No, sure. We're just gonna the wall. It's gonna be a living wall, so it's gonna be there for your viewing pleasure as we just take hilarious stabs at what it should look like until we finally trip over what it's supposed to be, which is, you know, how we proceed with everything we do in life.
That's Oilers Nation, though. Like, people will be along, and when the two guys and a goalie is then a 5 day a week thing with millions of listeners, people will be like, hey. I remember when it was ISIS, two guys and a goalie.
That's right. Well, the first thing I noticed when I came down here was that, Yaremchuk, you have a hell of a station over there now.
There was no corners cut. This is legit.
This is legit. Couple computers, a whole mixing board. Like,
very legit.
It's very beautiful over there. Then these high-powered LED lights, which I figured that's what these are.
I don't know how those boys talk with these.
Beautiful camera.
Wait, holy shit. Hey?
I just turned on the lights, yeah.
Please save me.
The ugly lights just shut on, eh? It's like 2 a.m. in a bar.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, and then the camera set up, I mean, fuck, it's cool. And you know what? What you always said was I wanted people to walk through, like, a store, like, to go through the kitchen of the cafe, then down this narrow staircase, and into the basement, past all the big, beautiful stainless steel coolers and all the stuff for the, and then come to this studio in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what it is, man. That's exactly what it is.
We're 70% of the way there, which is all you need to start.
It's all you need. So, yep. Charles, what would you do in here to fix it up? I mean, obviously, there's some furnace ducting here that, nice of them to saw two holes in the wall.
So, that was a big concern, because back in the day, they didn't make like full 8 foot basements or 8 foot basements, or they're like 7. You put a duct down, that's another foot. So like the head clearance in here for you guys that are over 6 feet, it's not great, right? So there's just nothing you can do about it, unfortunately.
It's 1903 is exactly what a podcast studio would look like in 1903. It's beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
I was going to say,
what would you do with them?
For people who don't know, we're recording in the basement of the Little Brick Cafe.
Yeah.
And Little Brick Cafe was built in
1903.
So that's kind of what we're dealing with here.
And I gave you a price to jackhammer out the floor and then dig down 2 feet so we could have extra clearance. And it was $500,000.
Yes.
And so we didn't do it.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to bump my head and get some pool noodles. Fuck that. That'll be all right.
No. It's cool. What would you do? I'd put the soundproofing up, and then just let's just throw some cool fucking Oilers gear up, and just like a cool painted logo, like a mural on that brick wall, I think would be pretty sweet. But
we got the Fugelbergs, Bird Mountain Homes, shout out. Yeah, they're going to be making two custom tables for us, like in the office upstairs. Yeah,
they're so good.
Save a little bit of space over here. Then we got the two seats from Rogers or Rexall.
Mm-hmm. Are we doing hockey sticks again? Is that what they're going to build them on?
Yeah.
So I got a bunch. I should make sure that they know about it. I've been saving some just in case for something like that.
Let's do it.
I also found yesterday in my parents' basement, I had a signed, fully signed by the Oilers hockey stick.
Ooh. What year?
2000. Who was one of the players? God, it was like, it's got to be like 2004. 2004.
Okay.
I thought you were about to say 2006.
No. Why would 2006? Oh, no, not that
year. For the team.
Not that year. It's like 1994. Like, Bucky's on the team.
Oh,
Bucky's
shit.
On this team.
Yeah.
Bill Ranford's on the team. Boris Mironov's on the team. I think it was like 2004, 2005.
I think it looks good in here, like, functionality-wise, but I think we need to do a few little things to make it nice. Remember when we built those nice cupboards up there, Chalmers?
Yeah.
And then those mean-ass contractors ripped them out?
So these lights, too, are on big tripods.
Yeah.
I could see mounting them, getting rid of the tripod bases.
Okay.
That'd be nice. The camera, the same thing, you know, having something that we could pull down, set the camera on when they're filming, roll it up, put the camera away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be some.
This sounds like great podcast content and not an offside chat that we should have.
No, this is real life, bro.
To loop it back to the podcast, we need to make this thing a little bit pretty so we can start getting some guests
in here.
That's what
I'm talking about.
And we also have the fully functioning phone. I think I'm confident enough to tease this now because we were supposed to have him today. But now the plan is we're actually going to have him on next week's episode, newly retired Eric Greiba, Everyone had their Eric Grabbit notes ready. So if you're a big fan of Real Life and a big fan of Eric Grabbit, next week's episode is going to be must listen to.
I've got questions about cooking.
I also have questions about cooking. I've got questions about beard growth.
That sounds to me like a question to have off podcast, boys.
I don't know.
I want to go back to
Eric Grabbit. Would disagree.
For a second, I want to go back to your Finland trip because we got cut off before you even talked about the legends you met while you were there.
Oh, yes.
You met a couple of Oilers legends hooked up by Larvinen, neither of which you expected, and you told the story on ON Radio on Friday, but I think that you should tell it here because it is interesting and fascinating, and I don't understand how you rub elbows with these people.
Oh, well, yeah, to go back to like the question Chalmers asked, yeah, Larvinen's established himself as a legit Finnish celebrity. For perspective, he has like over 100,000 followers on Snapchat, which would equate to 2% of the population of the country.
Wow.
So
they're all Finns?
Like 98%. And he does a lot of work with hockey. He does a lot of work with the national team. He does a lot of work with there's like this charity hockey team that Essatikin heads up. And this is how the whole connection is with him, where they travel around and raise a bunch of money for Finnish charity. Just playing hockey, where like it's this team that Essa heads up, but like Laine, Barkov, like the Aho, like all the big Finns come and play on it in the summer, and just raise a ton of money. And Larvinen's like the coach, super fan.
He's a coach,
kind of, yeah, like guy that around that team to help kind of promote it. But I landed in Finland, and 45 minutes after touching ground, I was having lunch with Essa Tiikkanen.
I'm shocked that you must feel good that this guy used his probably. Couple times that he could get Essa to come.
He goes for lunch with Essa like twice a month.
Okay,
like he stays in contact. Well, no, no, I don't know. No,
for Larvinen.
No, it was just a lunch. It wasn't special for him because Essa's his boy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
you should have said he's got like once a year, and he pulled it out for me.
Well, he did. Like I said, everything he did was a surprise. He just said, like, I didn't even know what the hell the itinerary was. I had a text him the day before. I'm like, are you even picking me up from the airport? What's going on? He's like, JJ, don't worry. I planned your trip 2 months ago. I'm like, whatever. So we get to the restaurant and he's like, hey, well, I've got a friend joining us. I hope you don't mind. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So whatever, we go around, we order, blah, 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 blah. He's like, oh, I think my friend's showing up. And I turn and Larvinen knows something's going to happen. So he asks us on video. And he's like, oh, they're like my friend showing up. So I turn and I'm like, and literally I was like, holy fucking shit.
No kidding.
I didn't know what to say other than that. And then like everyone just started laughing. And then Essa came and sat down. Like literally we just shot the shit for like an hour and a half.
Could you understand a word he was saying? Because I was reading Wikipedia. I was living vicariously Tikkanese. Through you. Yeah. And when he first came to the Oilers, they're like, we don't understand a word this motherfucker's saying. Then Curry comes to the Oilers. Tikkanen speaking Tikkanese, and they're like, what's he talking about, Yari? He's like, I don't know either, man. Yeah. I don't know what this guy's saying.
Yeah, yeah, Larvinen was saying
that. Did you understand him?
Yeah, no, like he spoke good English. Like, so
he's gotten over Tikkanese?
No, because Larvin's like, fuck, like in Finnish, we barely understand him because like he speaks his own dialect of Finn, which is kind of funny. But some things that like, we're just kind of talking about, and like, because we're like, I'm going to see Puljujärvi that night, watch play. And I don't know what the temperature of Finnish, like hockey fans or Finnish people are towards Puljujärvi because it is a countryman. So I didn't want to be like, oh, fuck, I can't wait to see how shitty Puljujärvi is or whatever. I was like, so I'm so excited to see Puljujärvi tonight.
Question mark.
And he's like, that fucking guy. He's like, I could slap him and his agent. He's like, I don't know what the hell he's doing. And that's coming from Tiikkanen. So at least, you know, he feels the same way we feel. He's like, what the hell is he doing? He's doing it all wrong. He needs to understand that Edmonton's his best shot. Like, literally, even if, like, in any team in the NHL, Tiikkanen's like, Edmonton, which he's attached to, is his best chance. So he's like, I don't know what the hell he's doing. But, you know, we, like it said, super nice guy, really like we're just like having conversations as if like we're, you know, friends. He's showing me videos. He works for like the biggest betting company in Europe, Unibet, I think it's called, as their ambassador. It's like him and like that big F1 driver.
Michael Schumacher?
No. That's the one. The Finnish one. Like me.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, what? That's the only guy I know.
You know what happened to Michael Schumacher? Yeah,
he's
right?
Not doing well these days,
he,
man.
He fucking has been in a coma for like 4 years because he hurt himself skiing.
What? Yeah.
You're just finding out?
I don't follow F1. I didn't know Connor McDavid
was playing today.
I think you're like the last guy on earth who isn't also in a coma to get the bad news about Schumacher.
I had no idea. Well,
so anyway, fell unconscious.
I was thinking about how big sports betting is. That all you keep saying is all these people work for sports betting sites.
Well, they're like the big company because sports betting's in the culture. Everyone.
Okay, wait. Hold on. We all knew that Michael Schumacher was in it. Who cares?
Buddy. This was like top big athletes. News yeah. for like. Months and months and months and months. Oh, after that.
Imagine Tiger Woods fell off at the height of his career.
Did you hear about Tiger Woods in 2009?
His wife is not doing well.
You guys need to stop talking over each other. Oh, we can't help touche. It.
Well, if Chalmers is going to come and blow our minds with stupidity like that, I think all of us are going to fucking.
If I get checked one more time by somebody in this room for how I'm podcasting, I'm leaving.
Taking my ball and going home.
Going home. We start a new podcast studio. Okay, in the building.
So not Michael Schumacher is the guy that's helping out.
It's like right.
It was Jacques Villeneuve.
Yeah.
Shills Villeneuve.
Oh, Greg Moore. No, I'm sorry. That's we're going down a terrible. Something terrible
happened to
path.
All these guys or something.
Yeah. Oh my God. Anyways, so he works with like that level of like Finnish star, doing a bunch of travel hosting and whatnot. And you show him this video where he took a bunch of people. They love doing trips to New York. And he's at a Rangers game, and like the Rangers honored him and doing all that shit. So like S has got some chops, but that was like super crazy. And then all of a sudden we went to all these hockey games, and like, yeah, it's not NHL caliber hockey, but it's still like high paced, high intensity hockey. But the like from a fan experience and like atmosphere, Finnish hockey is unbelievable. We go to these like 5,000, 6,000 seat arenas, and everyone is just chanting nonstop, going crazy. You're in these intimate settings. We played with this first team we went to in Hämeenlinna, HPK. They were playing Puljujärvi, where I was watching Puljujärvi play.
How'd he look?
He needs to be the best guy on the ice, and he wasn't. He had flashes. He skated well, but like he made a lot of nervous passes, and I'm like, Jesus Christ! Like this is Liga level. Like you shouldn't be nervous under pressure. Like you should be able to see through time and have patience and do all that stuff. He made some nervous passes, which, you know, was kind of a concern for me. He had a couple good missed on a breakaway, came in, made a good play, had a shot where he was a good shot. It was clocked at 120 kilometers an hour. Cool thing they do in Finland is they track all these stats in game.
And you can see it like on the scoreboard.
They'll do like a recap of the period, being like, oh, Puljujärvi 120 kilometer this, or this guy has skated 7,000 meters so far. So kind of just some neat like.
Ooh, advanced stats.
Yeah. Well, if you want to. It's like basic stats, but they're tracking it.
All the players are chipped in their jerseys, right?
So they can track. And then the puck is chipped too. Yeah. And then the cool thing they do in Hämeenlinna, I know they do especially, because it's like a small town that really gets behind their team, is anytime the team is leading, beer is €3 cheaper.
Is that the guys that have all the logos on their jerseys?
That's Karpat. That's the team Puljujärvi plays. So Karpat is the Yankees of the Liga. So
that's
who
I like.
It's the most northern team in Finland, and they've got the most sponsor support. So like,
the Oilers.
If there is a millimeter of space on the jersey or pants or socks or freaking foreheads, there is an ad. And that's why they can afford like the Puljujärvi, UC Okanen, who just got suspended 8 games for a hit to a head in Liga. He plays in that team, but like they get all the best players. So they're like the big bad Yankees of the league.
So I got to ask the hard question. What is the consensus on Mikko Koskinen?
Yeah. 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 We talked about this on Own Radio. So I'm like, Larvin, I'm like, how's because like Larvin and his friends with Koskinen. I'm like, how's Koskinen looking? I'm like, how's his glove? He's like, it's not better. I'm like, fuck.
So what do Finnish people think? Like, they're happy their boy got paid? Are they mystified?
Oh, no. They're very happy for him. They're very happy for him. They also understand that, you know, he's got a weak glove hand at the NHL level. And but, they're very patriotic, and they support their own, too. You know, I'm going to be jumping around from all of these stories, but they kind of all link. They support their own so well that we're at this bar where Larvin has his own table that's like decorated with photos of his face. It's called the Larvin table. And the bar was packed at like 3 p.m. because there was an EPL, like a Premier League soccer game of Norwich, which is like a bottom team in the league, but it's got a Finnish player on it. So the bar was packed to watch this guy play. So like they're super, you know, passionate about their countrymen. So they love Koskinen because also he's done some things at like the national level and stuff, and like national, like world championships, anything national is like That is above all else. That's above NHL. That's above everything. That's really what they all they care about. They, it's like a pilgrimage to the World Championships. Like so much of Finland shows up, and a lot of the Scandinavian and other like European hockey countries, like World Championships is big. So it would be cool if we did go there one day and check it out just to see, because we as Canadians don't really show up, because if you're there, it means your team's not in the playoffs. So it's not as like, you know, exciting or whatever to be there. But for them, it's life.
Well, when they came here, they took over a whole section almost, didn't they? Were they chanting and singing? Didn't they make that section's game experience just that much better?
There was only 25 of them, and it sounded like you could hear them all over the building when every time they do the chants.
How's their drinking?
The only time we've ever been sold out of beer at Little Brick was when the Finns came.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So at sporting events, they do a good job?
Yeah, but it's like, so when they were traveling, like they go, they, when they were here, they were going hard in the paint, but like, I hung out with a bunch of the guys. So, like, there was one night when, like, 12 of the people that were on the trip all traveled to Tempura to, like, hang out and, like, have a reunion, which was super cool because they came from all over the country. And, like, it wasn't, like, animal drunk like they were here. They're just, like, on vacation. So, like,
they weren't in Kentucky mode.
Yeah, but they probably had, like, 9 saunas in them already, and they're, like, sweating out all the toxins.
Tell Chalmers about how every building has a sauna, and that's where you do business.
Oh, yeah. So, sauna culture in Finland's unreal, like, as you kind of
I would not make it in Finland, because I cannot fucking stand a sauna for more than 3 minutes.
I think you can learn to like it. So, every building, like office tower has, and if you're a company, like, you'll have your, like, office sauna. And what they do when they're doing business or kind of big deals is they have something that's called a sauna night. And so they'll host like the other company that they want to do and negotiate a deal with. And they both just like gear down, go in a sauna and like negotiate a deal and have like these like special sauna beers.
And so you said that part of the sauna culture was to jump in the lake afterwards.
So yeah. So like,
is that just at that one thing? Cause if you're in a building, there's not going to be any lakes.
Yeah.
Valid.
So, yeah. So yeah. So they don't have a lake in the building as well for the sauna, but traditional sauna practice is you sauna, jump in a lake, sauna, jump in a lake, sauna, jump in a lake.
And are these traditional saunas? Is this red cedar?
So we're in a smoking sauna, like a vintage sauna. So it's they put in the wood, they light it in the morning, begin the day to heat the rocks.
Oh my God.
And it's got like this, like woody smoky smell, and there's like the champion sauna, like the big deal one that's 139 degrees.
You needed one of his hats.
Yeah, if you wear hats, you have to wear those hats, because if you don't, you'll burn your head and your ears.
It's that hot?
It's that, but buddy, I made the mistake of wearing my necklace, and it's this jade like stone I have, and within like 2 seconds it was like burning into my chest. I had to run out, like, and I couldn't even touch it for a minute. I had to like put it under cold water so I could like take it over. Larvin and
I've got a lot of cock rings. Would that be hard for me to sauna?
Yeah, you'd have to remove
a lot.
Yeah, or make it like, as long as it's plastic. If it's metal, it take
plastic.
It off.
No, it's plastic metal. Would like melt, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe no, it depends on like
doesn't
capacity.
Aluminum have a low heat?
But yeah, just like there's something we can learn as hockey fans on how to be hockey fans. And it's going to like places like Finland and Sweden and whatnot, and kind of getting amongst like just all the energy that they put into watching a game. They've got the rival fans area that's going nuts and chanting. They've got the home team, and then you've got the home team fans that jump in and out of the chants that the supporter group is doing. And it's so entertaining. Like, it is actually an event. You're not just watching a hockey game. You feel like you're a part of something.
So when you go to your first Oilers game this year, are you going to be like a little bit like, oh, fuck.
Well,
this is boring.
I
hope to hell you don't.
I'm not going to be like that. But it's just interesting to see. And it's interesting to see where we can take being like take the atmosphere in game in North America. There's a few rinks and teams that fans that kind of have built some things up, but like we have to kind of will our own kind of
so
fan
how do you,
culture.
You know how you always, you have like the fan culture in Seattle for the Seattle Seahawks that are the 12th men, right? How do you start something like that here, you think?
You just have to start, because like this is stuff that goes back years and years and years that they've been doing and adding and kind of evolving, right? So like
not to a crazed part where we're all leaving and we want to call radio stations and bitch about trades. Like, these people, they're doing it positively, right? Like,
oh yeah,
it's like a good experience. Or everybody's having fun. They don't go home and live and die, or do they?
Oh, they live in, like, they're super supportive of their teams. Like, when we're in Tempura, like, there's player jerseys hanging off, like, depending on what side of town you're in. Because in Finland, like, being a small country, there's only so many teams. So like some cities have two teams. So Tampere is big enough to have two teams. So it, the city's like divided. So you're in like Ilves country.
Right, but like do they meet in the street out front of the pub like an English soccer squad?
And then they have dance-offs.
I don't think, I didn't get the sense it was that aggressive because I went out in my Tampere jersey that night and, you know, there's people like from that cheer for Ilves, which is the other team, and they're like, Tampere, like whatever,
and that's
right?
What I mean.
And then like,
no more pause, a little more subdued.
And then you take a sip of your beer and you have a conversation. That's the one thing. Finns are very good at conversation.
Did you hit any snooze while you were there?
Oh, fuck.
A quick one while you're having your
song. No. I'll tell you a funny story about snooze.
I was wondering where.
So Larvinen is intense with his snooze, but he's kind of starting to like.
Somebody tell me what this
little
is.
Little tiny tea bags of chew. Yeah.
Oh,
I saw
yeah,
for the
yeah.
first time in okay. Iceland. I was in a bathroom. I look in the urinal and there's like 800 little Tetley tea bags in there.
Yeah. What do we call those here? Bandits?
Bandits was a brand, I think.
Yeah, they're just called pouches here.
Yeah.
But you can get, I was in BC. I got snus in BC. You can go, if you go to tobacco shops, you can get snus.
So when Larvinen was here, he's like, Jay, you have to try the snus. And when the Swedes were here, they're like, Jay, you have to try
the snus.
So I tried the Swedish snus and I was like, oh, this is great. I got a little buzz. Life is good. And then, so I like, you know, rock into my mouth for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Larvin's like, you got to try mine. I had it. It was in my mouth for 30 seconds and I was like sweating and dizzy. And I was like, holy shit. Like, this is going to ruin my night. I had to abort mission. Like really that fucking fast. It was so intense. So Larvin's kind of trying to wean himself off the snus or kind of like going down to like, instead of like, you know, Du Maurier, he's on the Du Maurier lights. Shout out Du Maurier. And or don't, I don't know.
Yeah, dude.
Shut him out. Fuck it.
So so he forgot to pack his snus when we went to Russia, and we're in the cab, and he sees the cab driver has snus. Like, oh, snus, yeah. So the guy gives him one. So Larvinen, like, who's fucking big into the hardcore snus, he has it in. He is sweating, and he's like, oh my fucking god. He's turning to the, what the hell is in this shit? He's like,
that's crystal meth.
Yeah, and he's like, you crazy Russians. And he's saying this to the cab driver. I'm like, what is about to happen? So he got taken down by Russian snus. So it's like Swedish snus is like snus on training wheels that a Canadian boy can try.
All I can think about
Finland's like intense. And then Russia is like knock you on your ass.
How back in the day when we'd come back from vacation, if you asked him if he got a little snus on your trip, that meant a whole different thing.
Yeah, snus was a different application in North America for sure. Like, or maybe in Edmonton or West Edmonton.
All right, bit of an odd transition, but we're halfway through the podcast. We're going to step aside and hear from the fine folks at JAPA.
Have you got holes to dig, earth to pack, and roads to build? Then you need to call JAPA Machinery Group. Does your equipment need a service? You can't fix stupid, but here at JAPA Machinery Group, we can fix everything else. With a full range of parts to keep your equipment running smoothly, JAPA Machinery Group is a family-operated and Alberta-grown business. Here to help build a bigger and better Western Canada. Give us a call or visit us at JAPAMachinery.com. JAPA Machinery Group. Join the family.
Welcome back. Episode 140 of Nation Real Life. We're still going through Jay's trip a little bit because you had one more sort of stop, right?
Russia.
Yeah.
You saw another former friend in Russia.
Larvinen again, full of surprises. Everything he did. Was he didn't tell me anything. He's just like, okay, we're going to be here this day, whatever, doing this, eating that. And, you know, surprised me with like an authentic, took me out to the country, to authentic like summer home.
That looked cool.
That was unreal. Met Mirko and, oh, fuck, I forget his wife's name.
Anyways, you can just say a name.
Like it was like Liza, Claudia. Liza, I think, Lisa or something. But like reindeer meatballs and, you know, lingonberries and this like hilarious like black sausage.
Lingonberry like drink like at IKEA?
Not the drink, the actual berries. Oh. It's like their cranberry side that goes with meatballs and whatnot. And then obviously they have their own little personal lake and like lakeside sauna. So we sauna. It was unreal. But anyways, we took the train to Russia. First time ever on a train that does over 200 kilometers an hour. That was kind of cool.
How was that? Was it an official bullet train?
No, not official. It wasn't a maglev, but it was an interesting experience because like going to Russia, I was like, holy shit, I'm going to Russia. This is like, wow. I'm kind of scared. Like, cause I don't know why, North Americans going to Russia is crazy. Like I'm telling everyone in Finland, like, I can't believe we're going to Russia.
And the
like,
other side of the Iron Curtain.
Yeah. Like super, super interesting. So go on the train, get into, the Russian border. So like,
it's like a 900 foot tall fence with like hammers and sickles all over. Well,
the funny thing with Larvin's like, you'll know when we're in Russia. You can just tell when you look outside. I'm like, oh, whatever. So like you get before you get the border, Finland exits you with your passports or whatever. And then you go through across the border and then the Russian border guards come on. And
so you drove?
Train.
Oh, you trained? Yeah. How long?
3.5 hours.
Do you listen to the Real Life podcast?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You just finished saying it wasn't a maglev train and he went
200 kilometers an hour.
No.
You're still thinking about Schumacher, aren't you?
No, I was.
Yeah.
He's that happened he's reeling.
2013. Fucking 6 years ago. Give me a break.
Well, it was big, big news. It was like nonstop. Anyways, so
agree to disagree.
So Larvin knows I'm kind of like nervous. And so he's fucking with me and he's like, oh yeah, like when the border guards come on, like just like make eye contact, just say yes, like just give them your stuff, like your passport and your visa, and just like don't say anything and like just whatever. Well, we get to the border and then the border patrol people come on and they're like fucking rocket babes. I was like, what the hell? But still they're serious. But there's like they still are serious. They don't, I thought they're gonna have AK-47s on them and all this shit. They were just these turbo Russian babes.
This is a really good story, Chalmers. You might want to listen.
Kalashnikovs is what they carry, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Were they nice or were they mean?
Well, they're trying to, yeah, they're mean mugging you the whole time and you're just like staring in
and
their eyes.
And they're in uniform, like, which makes it even hotter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and you're man, lost in their eyes. Like, holy shit, what am I supposed to do? What do I, like, but yeah, they come and check you in and now you're in Russia, so you get off in Russia, and now you can tell you look out in the side, like the fence that's along the train is like old and rusty, and like it's not like Finland where it was like all clean and whatever. But you get into St. Petersburg, you come out of the station, and you look around, and you're like, you see Ladas everywhere, and you see like it's kind of like in a little bit more rundown, like beat up area, and you're like, okay, I'm here, Larvinen. Pulls up his app, which is like Russian Uber's called Get, and he's got an 8 series BMW come and pick us up, and like whatever, we go to the hotel, check in, and then we make our way to.
Is the hotel Western quality?
Oh yeah, so it's a company. Once shocker, a company Larvinen works with Sokus that's based in Finland, has a hotel in St. Petersburg.
Are Finnish people freaked out by Russians, or is this just me watching CNN too much?
Yeah, like it's every second is that I'm like I'm in fucking Russia. Like this is like holy fuck. Like what am I doing here? Like. It feels so weird.
And the Finns like, ain't no thing, don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, well, because it's like they're neighbors. But then like, you know, you talk to the cab driver and he can speak like good enough English. And you're like, okay, like, and like everyone's checking you in and like, and you know, the hotel is nice. And you know, there's a toilet and like everything looks nice. And then, you know, the cool thing was to actually have like physical Russian rubles, which I brought some back for us.
Yes. Did you bring any magnets back?
Yes, I do. Yes. I've been in my backpack for
this whole
time.
That's all good. It's all good.
So I got to remember to take them out. But, so, yeah, so, like, I'm like, okay, like, I'm starting to feel kind of, like, less concerned, but then we go to the rink, and the rink was, like, I don't know if it was rush hour, but it took forever. It was, like, 50 minutes in the cab, but I swear on the map it said it was 5 kilometers away, but anyways, we're going through all this stuff, and I thought maybe Larvinen pissed off the cab driver because of the SNS comment calling him a crazy Russian. So I'm like, maybe this is taking longer on purpose. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Maybe you're going to KGB headquarters.
Yeah, and like, I'm just like formulating all these things because I still think it's crazy in Russia. And then we get to the rink, beautiful new arena. So we're going to see Ska play, which is legit like the richest Russian team. It's the former Red Army team.
That's Yak's team.
Yeah. So we get out, and it's just like, and it's funny the transition from like. You know, you're in like the downtown core of St. Petersburg, so it's like all the old architecture and those buildings down by the rivers and whatnot. And then you kind of go into the interior, so you see like Regal Russia on the interior, and then you go to like out to the outskirts and you see like Communist Russia. So like the architecture hilariously changes, and it's just like these big like unpainted like block style buildings. And, you know, like that kind of communist style architecture, I guess, if you want to give it a flavor. And then you get to the arena, and it's just surrounded by all that. And there's this beautiful arena. And Ska's, like, practice facility is, like, the most beautiful, like, one of the most beautiful structures you can see. So we go in and watch the, you go into the game, high security. You go through metal detectors. You get pat down. There's military presence everywhere.
Like actual soldiers walking around?
Yeah, this is my favorite part because we got photos.
Yeah, actual soldiers walking around wearing like these big bulky like blue camouflage jackets.
Oh, they're strapped underneath those bad boys.
Yeah, they're strapped for show.
So like, but like that's the thing. I'm like, I feel safe, but I also know I can't fuck around. So I'm like, okay, like I think I can live with this. And I'm with Larvinen, and the Russians know who Larvinen is because they follow hockey. And they're just like pulling him, like just yanking him, photo. Like they're pretty aggressive. And he's like, whatever. Like he's just doing it to keep the peace. And then, you know, we go to order a beer and I'm like, yeah, two beers, please. And they're like, and this lady doesn't speak English. And she's like, just keeps telling me no. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then we had to talk to someone else. And we find out they don't serve beer on Sundays. It's not a whole in the city thing, but like it's for ska hockey. And I don't know if it's because of religion or whatnot. So we came in with a good pregame buzz on and then showed up and found out we couldn't continue the party, which maybe was a blessing in disguise. Who knows? But yeah, we went into the rink, and then, you know, Finnish hockey has a good atmosphere, but then you walk into the rink and basically they have like Tiesto playing, like literally like a live DJ who's standing in between the two penalty boxes. He's got a little DJ stage and he's just ripping music like so loud. And there's people in there that are 80 and that are 10 years old. Like it didn't matter. They were blasting it. They had all these dancers around him, and it's like he was doing like a live show to kind of get everyone going. And then the game goes.
Was it all Russian music?
No. It was like, call it top 40 electronica. Right? So like there's some songs. Like
what was one song you heard?
Oh.
Like they didn't mix in Cotton Eye Joe, did they?
No. Have you got...
Good one, you Remchuk. You
hit the wrong button. Cotton Eye Joe hasn't made it to Russia, I don't think. But so like it was like really good atmosphere. And then like the game started, and then like they create this situation. So they've got their supporter area that's going nonstop. But they create the situation, which I'm not going to disclose too much because I think we're going to try to do this to disrupt an Oilers game this season. Yeah, yeah. Everyone be warned because it's coming. But they do this thing to allow everyone to participate into the noise without even having to stand up or yell. So like,
oh, because the wave is so hard?
Chalmers, they clap. Fucking Russia. They don't do the wave. they do the execution.
They have a different way of clapping, a different technique. Yeah, they really bring in the elbows. But
they clap with the backs of their hands.
It was so loud in there. And like if anytime the ska had possession or was in the offensive, they're just going nuts. And like this, like it was so loud in there. So like I was guy who was coming in pre buzzed, hoping to get further buzzed, further Larvinen, if you will. Thank you.
I mean, he's almost drunk.
John. Yeah. And, so I thought I was going to be like falling asleep in my chair, and next thing I'm amped up the whole time. And so it's because of this like crazy like atmosphere that they create. So the fun fact about Jokerit and ska. So Jokerit's the Helsinki team in the KHL, Chalmers. It's the same owner. So it's like a Russian oligarch that owns both teams. And there's basically like an unwritten rule. Jokerit does not win in St. Petersburg.
Oh, what's a betting line on that one then?
Well, so Larvinen being the nice guy he was, hooked me up with a $50 credit. I put it all on Tempura to beat Ilves in Tempura.
Fool's bet.
So I made 117 euros, and then I wrote it all on Jokerit at 5.05-1 to win in St. Petersburg. So I would have won like $1 million. And
don't bet against the Soviet machine.
Well, and it's funny. So... you know, Jokerit scores, Scott scores first goal, Jokerit ties, Jokerit gets a lead for like 2 minutes. I'm going to win all this money. And then they tie it up. But the game's getting intense. There's like a minute left. And like, sure as shit, bullshit penalty. And then Scott comes in and scores with like 30 seconds left.
Oh my God. The whole time I'm thinking about this, I'm just like, you could not bet on that team. If there's like one place in the world that I wouldn't think a game wasn't rigged,
it's betting
there.
Against the Harlem Globetrotters.
So same owner, and so obviously yeah, and Russian that, yeah, owner, exactly. The Russian team of his is going to beat his Helsinki team 99 times out of 100.
And I just thought there was vodka everywhere in Russia, so there was none in that arena.
Not on that Sunday, no. There was like not no a alcohol. Lick of booze. Yeah, I had a
this
Pepsi.
Goes against everything I've ever. Thought about Russia.
Yeah, just on Sundays. It gets lit on
they
Monday.
They just make everybody take a day off.
Yeah, Sunday, yeah. We need this.
It's forced sobriety. Yeah.
How was Yak?
Yak was, so they love Yak there, which was super neat. I didn't notice him much in the first period, but he did. I think he scored the tying goal or the go-ahead goal. He scored a beauty. He came in on a power play, went to the top of the circle, and got past the puck one timer, like laser beam. Like he had like enough room to fit a puck, and he put it there to score. It was unreal, and the building erupted.
Big Selly.
Yeah, he's super animated and super excited, and so yeah, it was super neat to see. But like, it's so funny because Ska is the big money club of the KHL, so they've got all the top end talents. So like the year before, they had Datsyuk, and the year before that, they had Datsyuk and Kovalchuk and all like these other big name Russians that went back to Russia, and so like they've got the best of the best. So like possession in that game was like 75-25 or 80-20. Like they were playing keep away. Like it was funny how skilled. So like KHL is like super skilled guys that are me first that can't make the NHL because of their me first kind of thing. So they're just like playing keep away with Jokerit, because Jokerit's just like basically the Finnish national team.
They know the score.
Yeah, exactly. They know the score. And it was super funny to see that. But then, you know, Ska wins. We could contest. Maybe there was,
you know, said that with air quotes.
With air quotes that, you know, could be some shadiness, speculation. The Finns definitely always think there's some speculation to be had. But post game, we go to meet. We're going out to meet the players, and I knew I was going to probably meet this guy. His name is Marko Antila. He's the captain of the Finnish national team, and he plays for Jokerit. Good friend of Sammy and Larvin, and Sammy's one of the guys hosting me. So, and he's also like 6'8". He's a giant. And so he comes out, we talk to him, and, you know, everything's cool. Like, whatever. Congratulated on the gold medal in the world championships. I think it came at the Canadians' expense. You know,
well done.
Which is, you know, whatever. He thought that was funny.
Shout out to the 06 Hurricanes, too, while you're at
it. Yeah. And all he cared about was, like, what I thought of Finland. That was the other thing. Like, when I talked to Tekin, even though I'd been there for 45 minutes, like, what are you going to do here? Like, they like really care about their country. So they really wanted to know what I thought and what I thought of the hockey and all that good stuff. And then they go away, and then we're staying there for some reason. I don't know why. And this is once again, one of Larvinen's secrets, surprises. Then all of a sudden Curry comes out, and I'm like, is that Yuri Curry? He's like, yeah, I think it is. And, all these like fans and stuff go and flock to Curry, because Curry's like the man. And, Larvinen just like starts yelling at Curry. Like Curry's got like 10 or 15 people around him, like getting autographs.
Larvinen's in full garb.
Larvinen's in full garb. He doesn't have the wig on. He's just wearing his jersey. And yeah, he doesn't have his wig on right now. So he's wearing an Oilers hat. We've converted Larvinen into an Oilers fan.
For real?
His first NHL experience was in Edmonton in 2017 when we brought him a new fan. And he just starts yelling at Curry in Finnish, like whatever, whatever, whatever. And then he says Edmonton. And then something, something, and then Curry just like stops what he's doing, turns to Larvin and says, Edmonton, where? And just like left the crew of people to come and talk to us.
Fuck yeah.
Sweet.
So yeah, like he came, he's just like, and like he really wanted to know my opinion of like what I thought of the game. And like, it was like, those are a couple bullshit calls, weren't they? And like
anything you say, Yari Curry.
And he's like, there should have been 3 offsides call. Like he was like heated, cause like he cares. Right. But like, we're just like talking about the game, and he was just kind of asking my thoughts. And once again, asked me like, what do you think of Finland? What have you done? And I'm like, holy cow. So yeah, I had like a super cool chat with him, took a photo, and he then went back to the mob of people that were waiting for him. And then he signed everything and, you know, dressed like a prince and hopped on the bus.
He's the GM of the Finnish national team.
I believe he's GM of the Finnish national team, and he's the GM of Jokerit.
Okay.
Weren't you listening?
Chalmers, I'm still reeling that you didn't know about Michael Schumacher.
Yeah.
I'm still reeling that Jay went, I had selfish hopes that when I found out you were going to see Ska play, that Putin would be in the building.
It's Putin worthy, yeah.
That would have been incredible.
I don't think he can go to games and shit. I think like the only time he gets to go live was like at the Worlds.
Oh, well, he's probably got a private box.
This is what I would
say.
You
ready for this? Team AJHL, like Alberta Junior Hockey League, went to Russia to play in a tournament, and Putin showed up to one of their games.
Wow.
Like these like
he cares.
17, 18-year-old kids from Alberta. I talked to someone, and I'm like, man, like, was that like nerve wracking? And they were like, you have no idea
how much army showed up.
Yeah, they were like, it was nuts, man. We're like there to play in some under-19 tournament. And you look up in the crowd for their first game in Russia. Like,
imagine you going to Russia and being like, ooh, this is kind of weird. Imagine being like 17 years old and pulling into Russia and being like, wow, this is frightening.
Yeah.
And then being like, holy fuck, that's Vladimir Putin in the crowd right there watching me play.
Surprised he didn't play. Under 19 tournament doesn't matter.
He learned to skate at 63.
He would have lit it up.
He'd absolutely never skated before in his life, and now he scores 12.
Well, given the military presence of the game, maybe he was there. Like when we were out there waiting for Antela and, well, I guess now Yuri Curry, a huge like convoy of military just leave. Like we're talking like those big like
troop transports,
and then a bunch of like military Ladas, and just like there was like a 10
military Ladas.
There was like
an oxymoron, isn't it?
When he went to World Championships, it was World Championships, right? He went to? And we talked to Nicholson?
No, it would have been Olympics, I think.
There was two helicopters over top the arena the entire time hovering. People were like, what the fuck is going on here? And then like when Putin came out, there was like an audible gasp from all the Russians who were just like, holy fuck. He loves hockey.
I've got an interesting story to tell about my nightlife experience.
I was going to say, did you go to the club?
So it's Sunday.
That's all I wanted to know.
So yeah, well, I'll tell you. I think we'll share this story because I won't name names, and it's not Larvinen. It's just a guy that we knew.
Like so it's Larvinen.
But just so you know, like we so there was other people that traveled to come watch the team. So there's other people staying at that hotel. So like we kind of hooked on with a bit of a crew. So there's some like new characters in the show, which will remain nameless, but good people as well. Everyone in Finland I've met to date has been amazing. So after the game, we pop, grab a bite to eat. We go in this hilarious hole in the wall Georgian restaurant. Had Georgian food.
Attaboy.
So, Thomas, can you name any menu items of a Georgian restaurant?
Schnitzel.
No, that's German.
Potato.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, potato? So lady couldn't speak English, but it was awesome. Had this like lamb soup and like these weird like awesomely cool shaped dumplings and a bunch of these delicious beers, and some freaking rubbing alcohol tasting vodka shots. That's when I knew I was in Russia.
Gross.
Anyways, so we all go. So in our hotel, there's the sports bar. So all the Finns kind of come back and we congregate there and we're kind of planning like what the hell we're going to do. And all of a sudden, one of the guys we're with, he's like, oh, I got a friend coming to meet us. Okay, sweet, whatever. Like, who's going to be fucking Michael Schumacher? Like, who's coming now? But it's one of the other people we hooked on to. And next thing you know, it's like very pretty woman shows up. And sits down and whatever.
Pretty woman. Get it?
Yeah. And hangs out with us. Super lovely.
It's going there.
Super lovely. Starts sitting on this guy's lap and just like they just.
So soon.
Yeah, but they're just talking.
So soon in your courtship.
They're just talking. And I'm like, okay, I think I can piece together what's happening here. And whatever. Teach their own.
You came on a trip with a Finnish male escort who was hired by a Russian woman?
Yes. Yes. And this lady was like, she was like really engaged with the group. We're talking.
English?
English, yeah, great English, great English. So all of a sudden the topic's like, well, where are we gonna go? Like we have, like we're in this like, are the it's only us in this bar, and like and the hotel must have had like a cruise ship or something staying. It was all old people in there, so it was like really dry and playing no music. So we're like, okay, we gotta go. Like I'm only here once, maybe, I don't know. So we have to like hit the town. So we're like trying to plan, and our buddy's like, well, let's. Her name's Vera, so it doesn't matter because she's in Russia and she isn't listening. Or maybe you are. Hi, Vera.
If there's a 13th listener and it's a Russian prostitute.
Named Vera.
So Vera's like...
She's like, oh my God, he didn't.
He's a guy from real life? How could Chalmers not know about Michael Schumacher?
Well, when I go back there, yeah, I'll see what she thought of the episode. But so he's like, well, let's get Vera to take us out. Like she knows, like where should we go? Like he knows
she
of this
is an escort.
He knows after all. He knows of this precinct, and it's like the Nitsky. We have to go to Nitsky. Like, do you know the bars we need to go to and stuff? She's like what are you guys looking for? And we're like, oh, like not like a nightclub, maybe like just like a bar or whatever. And so I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I'm like, am I gonna go out with a Russian prostitute?
You damn right you are.
This is fucked. So I'm like, oh my God. So like, this is getting momentum. Like, okay, we're calling Kaz. I'm like, I gotta go for a second. And Larvin in this whole time wasn't drinking. He made a bet with someone that he won't drink till New Year's, 1,000 euros.
He has to Snapchat the guy at the end of every day, Chalmers, to prove he's sober.
With a breathalyzer. Like, cool. So he's got this breathalyzer. So like,
for 1,000 euros? For what's that Canadian?
1,500, 1,400 bucks.
Oh my God.
I think he's more doing it on the principal because someone's challenging him.
Yeah.
He's betting against a principal?
Yeah. And so I go to Larvin's room and I'm like, okay, remember, like, I think it's crazy that I'm in Russia. And he's like, uh-huh. I'm like, and this Russian prostitute wants to take us on the town. Like, am I safe? He's like, oh yeah, don't worry. I'm like, what? I'm like, are you sure? Like, I'm like, he's like, I know you think it's crazy, but it's fine. You're with other people. He's like, just get the Russian Uber, get the Get app. So you have a way out. Like, you'll be fine. I'm like, okay, Mike, leave your phone on.
I don't want to have to have a way out in this situation.
Chalmers, you got to have a way out when you're in St. Petersburg.
So we go out and, you know, we go to this first little bar, kind of like a pre-drinking bar. And like, you know, there's some, there's a few people in there. And all of a sudden, like, she's like, oh, give me your phone, like, to the guy she's with. Like, give me your phone. Like, I'll take photos. She's going around taking photos of us, taking photos of this, like, being such an amazing host.
Stealing all your credit card information.
But I'm still like, what the hell is going on? And she's also a translator at the bar and whatever, so we're drinking a bunch of drinks. And I was taking off my my hoodie because I was hot. And
Marty.
To get into my t-shirt. Yeah, it was getting
and
lit.
His pants made him
it was off. Getting, yeah, my pants were chafing me. It was getting lit on a Sunday. And there's this table of girls, and I'm taking it off, and they're like, ooh, right? Like, I'm like, oh, whatever. So, and then one of the other guys does
that's
it.
That's music
they
do, to your ears, though.
They do the same thing, and we're like, okay, whatever. And so then, like, a bunch of them leave. So then we're there, you know, shooting the shit, having fun with Vera, and we're like, okay, well, we should go find a new place. So now all of a sudden it's like, Vera, where should we go? Like, this is, you know, so far, you know, this is going good.
It's amazing how when you're in a situation, not necessarily with a Russian prostitute, but like somebody, how fast they're in charge. You're like, she'll know what to do. We can trust her.
Well, then, so that's the whole thing. So we walk down the street and then there's a crew of those girls that were at the bar and they're like, hey, like, come to this gentleman's club bar. Like, there's not much going on right now. This is probably your best bet. And Vera's like, yeah, I think I'll be fun. I'm like, well, if Vera thinks it's fun, I think it's going to be fun too. Because all of a sudden I went from, holy shit, I'm going out with a Russian prostitute, to now Vera's in charge. Yeah. And it's funny how like that kind
don't
of-
Don't ask me, you'll have to ask Vera.
So, well, and that's the thing. In the restaurant, I'm like, Vera, what should I do? Like, she was just our life coach all of a sudden. Like, it's amazing when you travel and you can't speak the language.
You can never let a Russian get an edge on you, man.
Oh, so, well-
shit. She gained your confidence so fast. Oh, unbelievable. God. Classic.
Oh, right now, Jay's taking a Get ride from Moscow to St. Petersburg in that 8-series Beamer.
Well, granted, I'm not alone. I'm with others. So we go walking down this alley with these other people and I'm like, why the fuck are we walking down an alley? Like, this is weird. And then we go and we see like this, like, what is it when there's like steps from the outside to go downstairs? Like you can access the basement from the outside.
So a staircase?
Staircase.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like one of
this
those.
This is really hitting all the keywords. Alley, Russian prostitute.
Yeah. So
AK-47.
So because they're these girls are like, there's a 200 ruble cover charge.
What is that?
Shit. $5? Like $5.
I'd pay. Yeah,
it's
go
like,
on.
It's like $5, but they're like, so if you go in the room, it's 200 and like drinks are like this. And then I'm like, oh, I'm still sketched out about this. I'm like, I don't want to commit to anything. They're like, well, just come and see the room. And if you like it, pay. And if not, leave. Mm-mm. So we walk down the stairs and it's like, you know, it looks kind of like strip club signage because they said it was a gentleman's bar. So we walk in and then like you go into this room and it's just like, it's like this vestibule and there's this desk with like this like Russian gangster looking guy and two other girls. And so they're all speaking Russian, saying blah, 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 blah. He goes to me, he goes, you can look inside for 2 seconds. And then you have to close the door. I was like, holy shit. And
was he saying it with a face you didn't disagree
it
with?
Was serious.
Yeah.
It was like, listen, motherfucker. So I open the door and I look, and it's just, the room is empty except for along the sides of the walls. There's these poles, and there's just naked girls on every pole. And I was like, nope. So I come back in. I'm like, hey, yeah, let me just talk to the guys.
I have mild asthma, and I need to go outside because of St. Petersburg evening air. Run.
Because I'm like,
that room sounds expensive.
I'm like, if I go in here, this is a fucking shakedown if I've ever seen one. So I'm like, oh, let me talk to the guys. And
good
the guys,
job.
And then the mobster guy was like chirping me because I'm not going to like, oh, yeah, sure, you're going to go and talk. Blah, 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 calling me out. And I'm like, so I get out there. I'm like, yeah, guys, I don't want to go in there because they say everything's going to cost as much, but then they're going to tell us it's like 20 times as much and we can't leave that room because that door is basically locked from the one side. So we're going to be trapped and we're going to be held hostage until we pay a bunch of money. So let's get the fuck out of here. I'm like, Vera, how could you do this to me?
What about the other four girls? Wasn't it the other four girls that were like, hey, come to this place?
Yeah, they worked there. They probably got a commission or something.
Of course they had a commission. It was all over.
But that's the thing.
They spot their mark right when you took your sweater off.
They were plain dressed. Like, they were just like wearing like oversized parkas and whatnot. It's the street
team from the Russian
strip club. It's called being undercover, JR. So anyways, we're going to wear bikinis?
We escape that potential money grab.
And even big dildos in the air.
We go outside.
Dildo party.
$5 for a dildo party. What a deal.
We go outside and we're just like, and then, you know, you kind of recover from that and then get to realize like, holy shit, like this street we're on is like really amazing, except for that shady alley we just went down. Like, it's like so well lit, all these bars, whatever. So we go have some drinks at another like bar that's not very busy. And then we hop in a cab, two cabs, because there was like six of us. And Vera went to bed with the one guy. And then me and a few others stayed. The beauty at this hotel is that we got back at 3:30 in the morning and the hotel bar was still open.
Is everything in Russia just open 24 hours? Like, if you want it, it's happening.
I think so. Yeah, it must be. So we went and just crushed a bunch of wings and drank a bunch of beer. And I had to get up like 2 hours later.
Russian chicken wings?
Russian chicken wings.
Delicious or not?
Chernobyl wings. Mm. I shouldn't have said that.
Are they good?
Yeah, they were okay. They don't. Yeah, they didn't have hot wings. So
they contain
like,
pigeon.
Yeah, they could be. So, yeah. That's fine. So that was kind of my real life story about going, being led around town with a Russian hooker who earned our trust somehow. We got Stockholmed or something.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she's the one telling the cabs where to go, which is like, that was my biggest fear. And then we got almost pushed into going to some shady, shady gentleman's club in an alley in the basement of a building where there's a Russian mobster there telling us what to do. And it was interesting.
That's intense.
I've seen a Russian mobster once. I went to Scores in New York. You know what that is?
Yeah. Scores bar.
Scores man got a tattoo.
What's that?
That's a Howard Stern reference.
Oh. Yeah. So we went to this bar. It's like a fancy strip club, right? And I was there and watching the Oilers play in New York. So we roll up. And a buddy of ours was on the Rangers. And we walked up and the guy in the front door is like top hat, the whole thing, the doorman. And we're like, hey, can we get in? He's like, nope. We're like, was there a line? He's like, nope. And just looked at us. And we're like, okay. And then my one buddy's like, oh, you know, we're here with the Rangers and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, nope. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? Like, we thought we're you know, adjunct New York Rangers. So the guy had to call the guy from the team, gave the phone to the guy. Oh, yeah, sure. Come on in. So I'm like, this is fucking wild. The night before, I'd been rented out by Justin Timberlake for a party. So like, we're just not cool enough to go to Scores, cool, right? So we're walking around, we're looking at everything. I'm like, holy shit, this is pretty fucking wild. And we sat down, we ordered three drinks. It was like $77 US or some wild shit. And I was like, man, I got to go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom and there's three urinals all in a row. And there's a guy facing me in a suit. And then there's a guy peeing. I'm like, that's fucked up. So I go around the guy facing me and he put his arm out and it was like, he punched me in the chest as hard as he could. And all he did was put his arm out. And I look at this guy and I assume the same type of look from the security guard at the strip club. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, I shouldn't be here. So I just stood there. Guy finished peeing. And then the guy was like, after you. And I'm like, okay. So I go and have a very easy to pee pee because I'm ready to pee my pants. He waited in the bathroom until I was done and then washed my hands for me. And that might not sound freaky, but it's probably the most terrifying hand wash of my life.
Like, he was touching your hand.
He was the security guard for the fucking guy that was peeing. He was his bodyguard or whatever. And then just to fuck with me, washed my hands for me. When I came back out, I was like, yeah, I don't know if I should really be here. This doesn't feel like... So that was my only encounter with a Russian gangster. I basically just imagined that guy's cloned all over St. Petersburg.
Yeah, it was... you know, it was an authentic experience.
Know what else is an authentic experience? When you head on over to see our friends at Indochino about getting yourself a fresh suit.
Were you waiting for him to say authentic experience?
I've been waiting to pop in here about to talk suits.
Little did people realize, oh my word.
As a true tourist, I took a photo of Vera, which we can't post because it'll incriminate the other person.
This guy's wearing an Oilers Nation hat. No, he isn't. Remchuk, you're going to need to edit that out.
Remchuk is wearing a Oilers Nation hat with Vera. Vera is a lovely lady by the looks on Tyler's face.
Chalmers.
Well, as a tourist, I had to document my experience.
Can we put that photo up with like an emoji over his head?
Oh.
Can you put that up just showing Vera?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, we just toss an emoji over there.
Okay. For legal reasons, I will not get involved with any Russian hooker posting on
social media. I think it's fine. But like, well, we don't, yeah.
It's the oldest profession in the world.
Yeah.
But like, Fair trade. Super nice looking. Like, she started, I started talking to her about her sister. She was showing me photos of her family.
See, I would fall like, in love. This would be my problem.
Like, it got like, but like, she, like I said, like,
she's so great.
Like, she was there to like hang out with us.
Of course.
It was like, it was very.
Do you know what the term kompromat means in Russian?
No.
That is the tried and true strategy of bringing in foreigners, getting them to do shady shit, videotaping it all, and then blackmailing them. It's like a standard KGB play in the playbook. See,
she even looks undercover. She's wearing like khaki, like, you know, power pants. She's not wearing like a tight dress like you would think.
No.
She's got nice jacket on.
No, as I was saying, it's
she looks like she sells fine clothing at a nice restaurant or a nice retail shop.
Yeah, so like super, yeah, it was, like I said, like nothing screamed hooker.
We're trying here, Chalmers.
She was just there to hang out.
I just looked at your phone, Jay, and all I saw pop up was a reminder to yourself, JC's hair real? 5 question marks?
Oh.
No.
You proved that?
No, I don't know.
It was a look.
Yeah.
Well, let's...
We're all over the road here. Did that Indochino ad end?
We started, and then we got distracted by Vera.
Let's try that again.
All right. Vera would specifically request that you go to Indochino and get measured up for a fully customized suit. Tyler is telling me not to use Vera in the Indochino ads, but I can tell you that a sharp-dressed man is made for a sharp-dressed lady. So you head on into Indochino, pick your style of suit, customize that baby any way Vera wants you to, and within 2 to 3 weeks, you will have a wrinkle-free suit right out of the box waiting for you at your door. Head on over to Indochino.com or visit any of their showrooms around North America.
Still think it's a good idea to have native ads, Indochino?
It's about lifestyle, and you know some of the lifestyles. A guy who bought an Indochino suit that says "Hope will never die," who went to Russia and went on a pub crawl led by a Russian prostitute.
Just imagine how popular you would have been in Russia had you brought your Indochino suit with you.
Did you see any amazing examples of Russian largesse? Like, did you see a solid gold Benz drive by?
Yeah, you see. Well. Not solid. You saw like, I saw a Maybach. I saw a lot of like pimped out Range Rovers, a lot of super nice, like other Mercedes. Is like, there are some like real nice cars because there's some really, really, really rich people there. Very interesting.
Is this episode going to be called From Russia with Love or something like that?
From Vera.
From Vera with Love.
Yeah.
Can you make that happen, your M-Truck?
Well, I felt we had to tell that story.
No, you had to.
That's a great story.
That was the best part.
I was in Russia for 24 hours.
All the hockey stuff I could have give or take. But
well, the hockey was cool.
The Schumacher news was depressing.
Well, the thing I do want to bring up, the thing I want to bring up about all this travel is like, the whole time while I was traveling there, I'm like, Finland's so cool. And like, going to these hockey games is so cool. I'm like, I want to, and I've talked to Larvinen already, and he's going to work some magic on his end. But I want to put together a trip for next September. To bring a bunch of people from Edmonton or Alberta or wherever, but to come join us and do like a 10 to 20 person trip to Finland for our little preseason to get us amped up as fans to kind of see kind of how a different world, you know, looks and acts for hockey. The only thing that's different in terms of like, yeah, the atmosphere is crazy is you just can't drink in the seats, but you just learn to crush 2 beers.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
You can't drink in your seat.
Because?
Vera said so?
I don't know.
They don't have to clean up.
Yeah, I know in soccer it's to like reduce people getting like super drunk and like hooliganism. Mayhem. But like, yeah, and maybe it's for mayhem there, but you know, everyone just, it doesn't change. You just kind of reverse what you do. Like instead of going to take a pee and grabbing a bite to eat in intermission, you're just crushing 2 beers that you would have drank during the period.
Yeah, but this is my whole thing about when I go to Oilers games. I crush 2 drinks in the intermission and then I get to the seat with the other 2. And it's about 5 minutes into the thing.
So Chalmers drinks 12 drinks during a game?
Yeah, that's more of just a you thing.
But it's more of the peeing strategy that I.
So there's no issue about peeing. You can crush 2 drinks, have a pee, have whatever. Like it's because it's not like 17,000 person arenas. There's no crazy bathroom lineups. Nothing's crazy.
My strategy used to be to have, and it's not beer, so I'm not like crushing like 12 beers a game. It's Ryan Coke. Yeah,
it's hard alcohol. It's way worse.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they're easier and smaller to drink. Anyway, so you'd have 2 in your seats, and then around the 15-minute mark, you'd go down.
You would leave.
Get your pee out of the way.
You would.
And then you'd stand by
action.
The bar, and you'd have another couple drinks, and then go back for the next period. That's my strategy for hockey games.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you taking notes or Chuck?
Well, I'm going to the game tonight, so yeah, I need
we'll try it on for size.
All right, there we go. That was a hell of a European podcast.
That was a pretty good episode.
Big brother.
It's a shame we're not listening. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Do you guys, yeah?
Your Ramcheck, is there time?
We got time. We always got time. Previously on Big
Brother. Right. What is up with bringing back Casey and JC and Tyler? What is up with JC's hair?
That was one of the worst segments I've ever seen on Big Brother.
It looked like black licorice cotton candy landed on his head right before the segment started.
Those three look so uncomfortable. And when they were talking to them, the editing in that segment was so bad that when they would ask, and because these people had nothing to offer, when they would ask JC a question or they would ask Casey a question, they would give their small little answer. And before they could elaborate, they'd cut away to something else. Like those people should not have been there. And they should have just cut that segment.
I was really reading bad on Twitter with my stans. That's what we call fans of different players. They're scratching their head for how to make this entertaining for the crowd because I guess it's just like boring inside the house now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it seems like a foregone conclusion about how it's going to end.
Oh, yeah. The Connor McDavid of Big Brother.
It seems that way.
You know, I was a Cliffomaniac, but God, did he finish the game.
He fucked things up
dumb.
So bad. It drove me crazy. His final two deal, but not... two-way street that he tried
admitted
to pull
it,
Mickey
though.
Was
he was like, I got too reliant on the gentleman's agreement.
What else did he really do, though?
Yeah, but and that's fair, but like, how where does he think that he thinks his chance to like stay alive in the game is to make a one-way deal with someone?
No, but and in Big Brother history, has anybody ever, other than Dr. Will, actually told people what they were going to do and it still worked?
Thank you for bringing up Dr. Will.
Yeah, you're welcome. Because he was the only player I knew that could literally tell you what he was going to do and it was against you and you'd have no choice because of the way that he played everybody that he could back you into a corner. Cliff, if Mickey thinks that's the fucking deal, let him think that's the deal. Like, so what? You're going to feel like you've spent, this amount of your time being a super honorable Texan, right? And I get that. I get how that could probably fight with his, emotions inside of him. But it's a game. And when you leave the show in a month, nobody's going to fucking remember it.
I think what you're seeing, it's like Tommy losing his marbles and telling everyone that he knew Christy. I think at this point, they're just like, very sensory deprived at this point. Like, they have been locked up for 90 days. They're getting stir crazy.
Except for Mickey. He's laser focused.
He's a machine, man.
You just have to respect what he's done. Like, he was able to leverage he scared them. He scared Cliff, like, to get them to keep Holly and honor the agreement.
That was so masterful.
It was, you have to give respect and like, yep. Cliff, what are you thinking? Like, and
absolutely.
Then to like, it's Nicole, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know why I blanked
it's
out there.
Vera.
It's Vera.
Her name is Vera.
Like, Nicole has been right. Nicole is actually, you got to give Nicole some respect. Like, she's actually played a decent game. Like, and she's been kind of pretty aware and onto things when, shit was happening and
she gets bullied a little bit though.
She does get bullied a little bit and she trusted Cliff too much and Cliff trusted, kind of, I don't know what the hell, too much. Cliff ultimately will be her demise unless she can win the final HOH.
Cliff took her so far. Nobody else is going to work with her.
That's true.
He did save her.
She could
her.
Have attached onto Mickey and Holly pretty easily.
Yeah, I think so
and they
too.
They would have dragged her. Or yeah. I brought her because she started winning.
Because her and Mickey always had a relationship.
I would have loved to see Nicole bully her opinions more than she did, though.
Yeah, she should have stayed
strong.
She's
a worrier, not a doer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. She,
I'm actually.
Just like I put my faith in Vera,
yeah.
She put her faith in Cliff and kind of let him kind of guide the ship, which sometimes will lead you to a underground gentleman's club.
The thing that pissed me off the most of this episode, and it shows you that they really don't have a lot to work with because they're bringing up drama in the jury house.
But how about that?
Motherfucking Nick.
I would literally rather watch a show about the jury house right now.
Oh,
yeah. But how about Nick?
Nick,
who does this motherfucker think he is?
Oh, he's just a guy who's just in his 20s, man.
And who's the other? What's the blonde's name?
Kat.
Kat has a boyfriend, okay? So she goes into the house and she's like recording all these long ass emotional messages like, our relationship will stay through this and yada, yada, yada. And then bangs Mickey, like week two.
Is gaga-ing over Brett when he's in the house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like and crazy. Wow. And then gets into the house like Bella, who I didn't particularly like. I feel really bad for her. because they're throwing L-bombs at each other and shit. And then you remember when she had her exit interview and then Julie Chen was like, are you sure this is going to work on the outside? She's like, mm-hmm. She's like, really? Your mom's going to be down for this? Yeah. So she's been the whole summer not in the jury house telling her family what a wonderful man she met.
Yeah, but she also saw him on live feeds with Sis. And then she like went to Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard they were getting close.
And Bella saw Nick and Sis getting close in the house. They were just cuddling. Like there was nothing more than them just like at night just having a lay down in bed. Right?
What did Bella do?
She freaked out on Twitter like, I don't care about this guy. I can't believe the disrespect and all that. But then they went and they remember like wasn't it in the exit interview when Nick was like, yeah, I really like Bella.
Yeah,
like,
I love her. And he's talking.
I love her. I can't wait to see her. And Julie's like, okay. And then he gets to the house and Kat's all of a sudden like, okay, so another man
and
finally.
And then they straight ask him, what about Bella? Like on behalf of women, I was like, oh, I get why they don't like us.
Yeah. We knew like Nick proved he was a piece of shit early. And then all of a sudden like people were like, oh no, like Nick's actually not
that
as bad as we thought.
That piece of shit is one of a lot of our friends when we were in our mid-20s, if you put them on a show where they just like immediately got a connection with somebody, like think of these circumstances. Now he's
Would
in the jury
he's
house.
He's a love machine?
Now he's in the jury house. He's probably tipping a little bit of the, you know, a few cocktails at night. And Kat's sitting there ready to party. Like
this is why I was so concerned about Big Brother Canada season 7. It's
true.
Fuck, man. What you don't know is what happens when it goes to jury, right? And everyone's just as bored. They have access to booze and there's no cameras.
Yeah. And you ain't kidding. And that's what's fun. Nick's falling prey to it right now. And Kat's just having a good time. You think she's
Summer getting... of Nick. Well, I've always Kat's been very entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on camera right now and he's like, oh, whatever. Fuck it. I'm half drunk as it is, probably.
So who do we think, or Mike, do you have some, who do we think, Bagmelt, do you have some thoughts?
I'm going to go out and say that I don't care at all about tomorrow's finale. Unless some kind of miracle happens where Nicole wins the HOH.
Which she might, man. That last HOH can...
It's the memory one.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
All she's been doing is sitting around worrying all summer.
Of course I'm going to watch it, but I just see this ending the way we all think it's going to, unless A, Nicole wins, or B, the jury has gone batshit crazy.
Which will suck.
And goes revenge mode like they did on Paul 2 seasons in a row.
Yeah, both times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I was... I don't know.
What you think
prediction.
About it?
Yeah, yeah. No, sorry. No, I couldn't think of the word prediction for some goddamn reason. Cool.
Pronounce Vera.
My prediction would be Mickey wins, takes Holly, and Mickey will, even though he's right when he thinks the jury hates him, they do, but I think ultimately they will respect him because when Tommy came out, he even said he respected what he did, even though he really hated what he did.
Tommy's a two-faced guy. He'll say he respects somebody.
Yeah, that's true. But he had a chance. Like he didn't have to say anything to like make someone feel good. He didn't have any. He wasn't talking to anyone in the house. He was just. I think it was a chance to be real, and I think he was real there. But if for some reason Nicole wins and she's gonna take Holly, we already know that. I think Nicole beats Holly.
Yeah, Nicole beat Holly. Will Holly's coming in second no matter what.
It's
yeah.
amazing to me that Holly's been locked in the Big Brother house all summer. The only object of the show is to make these people look interesting. I do not know a single thing about her. I think she's one of the reasons why they have to keep going outside the house for content. Like,
yeah.
The only thing she ever said that was of any note was she was like, I left Wyoming to follow my dreams. I'm like, girl, you are what's called a safari wine guide. I do not know what that means, but surely to God, that wasn't your dream when you left Wyoming. Other than that, we don't know anything about
no,
her.
No, we don't.
Yeah. Hey, did anyone notice this? This is the first time they said what Mickey did. He was a waiter. I didn't know that.
I was going to say that all year.
Yeah. Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the first time. I thought it was the first time I saw that.
So can I tell you what I did? Kay. Just one quick last thing.
Quickly, yeah, last thing.
Okay. What I did
maybe
on the Sunday show was now that football season's back, I record the CBS like 7 o'clock one right after 60 minutes. If a football game goes long, it cuts off your Big Brother taping unless you have it set to tape. And this is a rookie mistake on my part. And I didn't redo it. So I, until about 5 minutes ago, didn't know who won the first leg of the...
I don't know still, so don't tell
okay,
me.
Okay, I won't tell you.
Oh, wow.
And the whole reason that I didn't, and even though after I had watched the show and it cut out and I saw the last thing, when you go and try to watch it on demand, you can't fast forward that shit.
Oh, yeah. I know, it's so
you
annoying.
So you have to either just let it play for like 45 minutes and go do something else, or else you just look online. And honestly, I didn't really care to look online because I figured I might know who won. I didn't know, and it's... Set your PVRs.
So Chalmers doesn't know about the Cliff Battleback?
The Cliff Battleback.
Is Dave still there?
No.
David? Oh, yeah. He's the best.
Why would you fabricate something like that? Cliff is back. There's the four of them. It's going to get really weird in the HOH. Shocker, your Remchuk is not up to date on Big Brother.
Yeah, even though
now
excuse?
We're recording on a Tuesday and not a Monday, we bought you more time.
PVR because of football, though, right?
Yeah, I'm busy, man. I watch a lot of junior hockey. That happens at night. I don't have time.
Got to mix it in, man.
I'm out here grinding. Yes.
Get on the grind. Man, I get government named all over this podcast.
Yeah, sorry. But our new thing is whenever there's a government name, I'm not going to take out the whole thing. I'm just going to put a bleep.
Cool.
Add some suspense.
Because Jay's already in bed with the Kremlin, basically.
Yeah, we're screwing.
And now my government name's out of this podcast.
I didn't shit on Russia at all. I actually thought Russia surprised me. It was.
You said you were glad they had a, or you said you were surprised they had a toilet. You said I had a toilet.
Chalmers, hyperbole.
Chalmers, he's been compromised. Don't fucking push too hard, or him and his comrades.
Honestly, I felt surprisingly safe. St. Petersburg was a beautiful city. It was just kind of just interesting to kind of see it and kind of witness kind of a Russia way of life. So I would go back to Russia. Because the border guards are fucking babesicles. On the way back. Going back to Helsinki, new set of border guards, another set of freaking border guard babes.
All right.
We'll have a fantasy football update. fantasy football update next week.
Pray for the Connor McMayfields. We are in trouble.
Yeah, I'm 2-1, so whatever. I'm all right. Okay, next week, I think I'm confident we're going to have a Mary Brown's Poppin' with Eric Greiba. That's right. All of our interviews are now sponsored by Mary Brown's and their Poppin' Chicken. Love the chicken, so shout out to Mary Brown's. That's coming up next week. We'll also get a chance to tee up the Oilers season opener, all that good stuff. Thanks for listening. Episode 140 of Nation Real Life is over.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.